from Daniel. We talked in third chapter about the setting up of this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was a monstrous thing. It was about 9 foot wide and about 90 foot high, and called all the people together to worship, bow down before it. Music began to play, and they at that point were supposed to bow down and to worship. And of course, we know that there was some that didn't. Tonight we're going to discuss that a little bit. The problem always arises when God's people do not do what the world wants us to do. But it's what we're supposed to do. So basically what they've been told to do is fall down and worship the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So I'm going to take up reading here for a few verses at verse number 8 of chapter 3. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your wonderful grace. Thank you for the souls that were saved today. Appreciate it so much, Lord, you just being with us, your presence being felt in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the folk who've certainly made their way back here tonight to once again honor you with their voices and sing. And Lord, as we pray together, as we give, now, Lord, as we hear from the Word of God, we certainly need you. And Father, we need your presence. We need your power. We need your wisdom tonight, Lord. And you know that there's things that this preacher needs from you, Lord, and you know what those are. And I ask you, please, for it. And so once again tonight, Lord, if you'll just be honored here tonight, that would please us. And Lord, we believe also that would please you. So Father, once again, as we preach, the will of God be done in all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we have mentioned here concerning the golden image, if you was not here the last time we preached from Daniel, you know that that image we told you that was a picture of the end time image of the false prophet of the beast that was going to be set up in the book of Revelation. And it's the same picture, same thing. It's just kind of a foreview of what was going to happen in the end days. And of course, in those days, they could neither buy nor sell if they was not willing to take the mark of the beast. And so it's just kind of a picture of what's coming soon, I believe. I believe it's coming real soon. And of course, we had some, as we will during the time of tribulation, there'll be some that will not bow down, some that will not accept the mark of the number of the beast upon their forehead or in their hand. Well, this took place here also. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided they was not going to do that. They just wasn't going to do that. They was God's people. They weren't going to worship this terrible image here. And so that's what they did. Now, if you notice here in verse number 8, you notice it says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. I just kind of want to go back just a moment or two, second chapter. You remember how Daniel handled this thing. Daniel, of course, was given the interpretation of the dream, and he gave it. But he was not vindictive. He even came. You remember the Chaldeans? They could not come. They could not give the interpretation. They didn't know even what the dream was, and they couldn't give the interpretation of it. But Daniel comes along, if you notice in chapter 2, verse number 24, and therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. You see, Daniel was not vindictive. He came along and said, don't destroy them. Now, he could have very well have said, okay, go ahead and destroy them. Get rid of them. They're no good anyway. And he would have been right. They're no good anyway. They was false people. But anyway, he didn't do that. He said, no, don't destroy them. But yet immediately after you, and again, get the picture, we're talking about 20 years later. Talking about 20 years has went by, and King Nebuchadnezzar decided that, you know, he wanted the whole kingdom. He had the kingdom as far as the dream was of gold ahead. And then, of course, that was going to be taken away. And there was other kingdoms take over. We talked about the five different kingdoms that's mentioned here in this portion of, Scripture in chapter 2. But we find here that what he did was that he came in and he said, no, don't destroy him. And yet when this all happened here, we find them coming in, the Chaldeans, and saying, hey, right. Hey, right. You know what? The Jews here are not doing right. Yeah. Now, you see the difference. Now, and reason I'm bringing that is, I want you to know something. You're not going to get a fair deal from the world. I don't know why in the world that we Christians feel like we're going to get a fair deal from the world. We're not going to do it. But I want to tell you something. We ought to give a fair deal. Yeah. Amen. We're different. I've said this, for years and years and years. You know, we just got to be different. What the world does, we can't do. Some people can do. Some people can get by with things, but we can't do that. We've got to be different. Amen. And no matter what the world does, you see, our reaction ought to be like that of Daniel, the way he reacted, you see, to this thing. And he's no, don't destroy him. He said, but and then they come along, of course, and they want to destroy. What I want to do is I'm going to kind of take you out of the book of Daniel for a few minutes. I want to go back over to the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, book of Matthew, and I just wanted you to listen to some instructions that Jesus Christ gave unto his disciples when he sent them out. I just want you to listen a few moments. You may think, well, this don't tie together, but it does. Because I want you to listen to and see what he says. That's the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. I want you to listen to what he says and gives the instructions to the disciples. Now, I realize this is the time when the disciples are going out to preach. I understand that. But listen to these instructions that he gives, starting at verse number 11, chapter 10. And unto whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'll stop there a moment. God said he was sending his disciples out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, the same principle is true today. Now, I mean, it's maybe not like it was in the days of the apostle. I understand all of that. But the same principle is that today. Listen, this old world is not going to love you, folks. And it's amazing to me. I mean, it really is amazing to me. I see this all the time. I see where Christians, even who claim to be Christians, are more worried about getting the world to love them and expecting the world to love them and making friends with the world than they are in making friends with God and his purposes here on this earth. It's amazing to me. And we spend all of our time, a lot of our time, people do it just to make sure the world loves us and cares about us so that we'll treat them right, you know, and all things. I'm not saying we ought to treat them wrong, folks, but listen, we have got to realize the principle of our life is to serve and please God Almighty. I mean, I just believe that with all my heart. And we're not out here to please the world. We're here to please God Almighty. Amen. So he goes on and he says, in verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And a brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children will rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, I'm going to stop reading. It'd be good sometimes. Just keep reading that. You probably have already read it. But what I'm saying is God is just telling us that, you know, when you live godly, when you walk with God, when you carry the message that God wants carried, you're not going to be loved too well. And this world is not going to love you. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand this. Why in the world we spend so much time trying to get in good with the world? Folks, when you carry the message of Christ, you're not going to be loved by the world. That doesn't mean everybody's going to walk around and throw stones at you, but they're not really going to love you very much. And you've got to understand it. You're going to be hated by this old world. They have a different spirit than you and I have. We have the Spirit of God in us. They don't have the Spirit of God in us. And they're not going to love us, and they're not going to always treat you with respect. So the thing about it is, what we want to do is we want to please God. And what he says over in the book of Luke, he says, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." I mean, why are we spending all of our time trying to get men to speak well of us? The world's not going to do that. Not if you're standing for the Lord. Amen. And he says, "Woe unto you when all men do speak well unto you, of you." Amen. So it's serious business. So when you come here, you find that Daniel done right. He said no. He said, "Us don't kill those wise men, those Chaldeans. Us don't do that." But as soon as they had problem here, they come accusing the Jews, accusing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it shows what was in their heart. You see, Daniel was highly exalted. If you look at the end of chapter 2, you'll find that the king Nebuchadnezzar set him at the gate, or set him up as rulership. The Bible says he came a ruler there in Babylon. And you'll find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they was Jews, and they was set over here the providences. What I'm saying to you folks is this: listen, the people resented that. They hated that. They despised that, you see. And so why? Because they're not God's people. They didn't respect the Jews. The Jews are looked upon today, down upon today, constantly down upon. They want to destroy them. The Palestinians over there have no desire to have peace with the Jews. They want to run them off into the sea. That's what they want to do with them. You see, there's no desire. And Arafat's one of those, has already stated the fact that that's what they want to do, is destroy the Jews. Why, sure they do, you see. But they may put on all of this air that they're just wanting peace with them and all these things. But that's not what they're wanting. And again, this world is not wanting peace with God's people. If you keep an eye out, you watch to see what's going on, even in this old liberal media that we have, and especially in this liberal media we have, you're seeing this world has begun to move against God's people in a mighty way. This Sodomite movement, I'm telling you right now, that thing is moving at a fast pace, and they're doing everything, and the media is just backing them up and helping them all with their agenda. So again, I'm simply saying, folks, don't expect the world to treat you right. They are just not going, there is not going to do it. We could go to some other scriptures, which I'm not going to do tonight, but they're not going to treat you right. Look at verse number 9 back in chapter 3 of Daniel. He says, "They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever." I just want to say something to you. They wasn't too concerned about the health of the king. They just wanted to get on his good side. I don't think they cared one bit about his health. They just wanted on his good side. Who they was after? They was after the Jews. They was after these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wanted to see them destroyed. They'd put up with them for 20 years, sitting in the places of importance. And enough was enough. They wanted to get rid of them. You look at verse number 10. You'll notice again, "Thou, O king, hath made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." Now, once again, you notice they began to use the music. I mentioned this, it seems like, the last time we preached in the book of Daniel. But I want to tell you, music is used by Satan in a mighty way. to destroy the destroy our young people. I remember we've got a man up here, used to be a mayor here, and I don't care if this gets back to him. Had a mayor here in town that imitates Elvis Presley. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. I have no respect whatsoever for that. Amen. Elvis Presley helped bring destruction to the youth of America. Amen. He brought that filthy music into the America and brought that old rock and roll junk in and died a drug addict himself. Yeah. And we want to imitate him and hold him up in honor. No way. God's people, and this man claims to be God's man. I'm not saying he isn't saved. I'm not saying no such thing. But we ought not to hold him up. The music and the kind of music that man imitates is helping to destroy America and the youth of America. Only it's got so much worse since then even. It's got worse and worse. But he helped open the doors to this country for that kind of music. And what I'm saying today, young people are having trouble with that music today. They don't know when to say no. They instead of listening to the songs that God would have us listen to, the music God would have us listen to, we listen to that old junk that'll warp your mind. Now, I know, I understand, folks, if you're young people sitting out there and you've not heard this before, you think I'm some kind of, Tommy, some kind of idiot. You think I'm some kind of fanatic. But I'm just telling you the truth. You don't understand what's going on. You young people's got to understand this is serious business. You see, when Joshua and Moses was up on the mountain, Joshua said, "Oh, I hear the noise of war in the camp." And Moses said, "Oh, no, that's not the noise of mastery. That's the noise of singing." Now, it wasn't godly singing. They was dancing around the golden calf. They was singing, all right. It's some of that singing that we're getting today. Said they're dancing around the golden calf, you see, while they were singing. Folks, listen, this music, I say to our young people, but I say to our older folk too, I don't know what kind of music you listen to. I don't know what you turn on your radio. But boy, get off of that stuff. Get away from that junk. Amen. Listen to good, solid hymns of the faith. Good music that'll help your soul. Amen. Get away from this mess. I believe this all my heart. I think if you have records, and I don't guess they use records anymore. I'm dating myself. Those CDs and those tapes. What you need to do is go out and jump up and down on top of them and just smash them to death. Throw those tapes in the fire and melt them. Amen. Just get rid of them. I mean, don't you agree with that? Sure you do. You see, if you young people had any sense, you'd go home. You'd go home today and you'd go through your music library, whatever that is. You'd search out every music that was not good, solid music that'll help your soul, and you'd get rid of it. You'd throw it away. Look back in the book of Acts. They took all their books and they burned them. Those books of witchcraft and all those kind of things, and they burned them. They got rid of them. I would encourage you today to burn them and get rid of them. You see, some of you think you're listening to pretty good music. You're listening to some of that old country music stuff, that country western stuff, that filth. Yeah, you are. You're listening to that and think you're doing a lot better. No. You get rid of that junk. You listen to the music that'll help your soul. Amen. You know, I told Donna, she said, "Well, you titled on your message tonight." I said, "I have the slightest idea, but let's just title it, just hitch your horse to a new hitching post." Brother Charles was in the other room and I heard him laugh. I said, "What do you think, Charles? Is that a good title?" He said, "Sounds good to me." He said, "Sounds like a good message." But the reason I said that is, have you ever heard the story? Some of you probably heard the story. Heard the story of years ago when a man was, back when they rode horses, and he'd ride into town and he'd come up in front of the tavern and he'd hook his horse there. He'd tie his horse to the hitching rack. He'd go into the tavern. And he'd do that all three or four times a week. He'd just go into there, tie the old horse there, and go into the tavern and drink. Then the story goes that this man, the preacher of the town there, finally got a hold of him and got him saved. Told him about Christ, and he got saved. And so time went on, and he'd go down and he'd hitch his horse to that same old hitching rack. Then he wouldn't go in, but he'd go somewhere else. And he said, he just went on and went on and went on. And pretty soon, he said that some of the friends, his old friends, would come out and meet him when he hitched his horse to that old hitching rack. And he'd say, hey, come on in and have a drink with us. You used to, you know. He'd say, no, I don't want to do that. And he began to let down. And pretty soon, a friend came out, a good friend. He said, oh, just come on in. You don't have to drink. Just come on in. So he hitched his horse to that same old hitching rack. And he went in. He said, no, I won't drink. Well, the next time he went in, he began to drink again. And he went back to that preacher. And he said, oh, preacher, I've just goofed up. I don't know what's the matter with me. And the preacher said, I can tell you exactly what's the matter with you. You got to quit hitching your horse to the same hitching rack. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, when you get saved and you walk away from all of that junk, if you had problem as an alcoholic, you don't go down the aisle where they sell beer. You don't go by the tavern. And you don't go and associate with those who still drinking. You get all your booze out of the refrigerator, you pour it down the drain and throw the cans away, and you don't get any more. You want to quit smoking, you don't keep a pack of cigarettes in your pocket. Ain't gonna work. No. You throw those things away and you walk away from them. You keep them out of the house. You keep them just away, period. Because you're going to hitch your horse to the same hitching rack. You're going to be right back doing the same things you used to do. Amen? Do you understand? Yeah, amen. See, when you make a decision in life to walk away from things, you don't go back to that same hitching rack. You know, your old friends that used to lead you astray. You say, well, you know, I got saved, but you know, I can still have fellowship. I want to tell you, you better get away from that hitching rack. Them old friends that used to be so, what you call them, good friends, was not good friends. You wasn't good for each other. When you got saved, you better walk away from that and stay away from it. And hook your horse, or just tie your horse up somewhere else. Agree with that? Absolutely. You see, that's what's needed. You need to walk away from that stuff. So I say to you young people, you used to maybe listen to that junk music. You used to listen to that. You got to hook your horse. You got to tie your horse to another hitching rack. You got to get rid of that junk. I mean, get rid of it. Because it won't be long if you don't get rid of it. You'll be sticking that in the little CD holder in your car or some other place and listening to it again. Oh, I just listen, won't hurt anything. Oh, no, you'll be hooked on it again. Right. See, you got to walk away from those things. Right. Amen? You got to make a decision. You got to make a choice in life that you're going to walk away from those things. You're not going to do those things. I don't care how tempting they are. You got to get away from them. Amen? You know, you can tie that thing down to all kinds of areas of the Christian life. There's a lot of reasons there's people that's unfaithful to church that just don't come to church. Reason of they got the same habits they used to have, and they got to doing things that they should not be doing when church is going on. I want to tell you something. I believe this all my heart. When church is on, if you're a Christian, y'all be right here. Y'all be right here. There ought to be no excuse, none whatsoever, absolutely no excuse for being somewhere else. You understand this, preacher? You say, "Ah, Brother Ross, I got a job." I understand that. But you know what? Most of the time, it's not just because a guy's got a job. It's some other reason somebody has chose to make. You know, I'm serious. I appreciate so Tim back here, Tim Sagers. He's possibly maybe got a job. And it sounds like, I don't know for sure he's going to get it, but it looks good. Anyway, he's going back tomorrow for an interview and all this. He's been or he'd been. And you know what he told me? He said, you know, I told him, he said, I'm going to work on Sunday. Now, I'm talking about a good job. He said, I'm just not going to work on Sunday. He said, I'm a Christian, and I'm just not going to work on Sunday. If I had to work on Sunday, I didn't want the job. Amen. Amen. Now, he did tell me. He said, I may have to work some seconds for a while. He said, that bothers me. He said, I don't want to do that. But he's got to have a job. But I'm just saying to you folks, you know what? He made a stand. When Sunday comes, he's going to be in the house of God. I want to just tell you something. Most folk who take a job like don't have to take a job like that. No, they most don't. Some are just working because on a day that you ought to be in church when they do not have to do that. You understand what I'm saying? You need to tie your horse to a new hitching rack. Maybe make some decisions, choices in life. We made a choice in life with our kids years and years ago. Bobby, you remember this. Back there, Bobby was going to play basketball. I know he wanted to play basketball probably more than his daddy even knew he wanted to play basketball. I'm serious about that. I understand that. And I appreciate him because he'd done what his daddy said. But one of the practices was going to be on Wednesday. Bobby remembers that. He's going to practice on Wednesday. I said, Bob, you can't do it. He was going to practice on Wednesday. You know what? It kind of broke his heart, but he just went ahead and he done what I said. Maybe you don't understand it, but I do understand. You've got to make some stands for your kids. You know what? Don't let them go out here and be out of the house of God. It's not necessary to do that. No, absolutely not necessary. Did you check the air on us for us? Okay. Did you get that back there? Somebody else can maybe check that one for me back there and make sure that we get it on air. I don't know what it's on or anything. I got people waving at me. They're not waving at me. They're fanning. They're hot. Amen. What I'm saying is you got to make some choices in life. Set the example for them. Folks, your young people, they've got the rest of their life to work. Rest of their life. They don't need to be working on Sundays and working on Wednesday nights and all that. So that's a bunch of baloney. And you know who makes that decision? Mom and dads make that decision. Amen. I'm just going to hang my hat there. You got to make some decisions. And I mean, you got to make some decisions. Do right. Amen. Sure you do. But you got to change directions. When you get saved, you got to change directions. You got to go in a different way, a different direction. You tie your horse to a different hitching rack. Or you'll be back right doing the same things you used to do. I'm appalled, and I mean it, I'm appalled. In Christianity today, the folks that just has let the world take over their life don't want anything to do with God anymore. No, you say, oh, they come around once in a while. No, I said they don't want anything to do with God anymore. They don't want God dictating what they're going to do. And I want to tell you, God has the right to dictate what we're going to do. He has the right to. You know, used to, in all seriousness, used to, we just wouldn't have done things like that. No, we just wouldn't have lived like that. We just wouldn't have done it. That's all there is to it. But boy, now anymore, you just do it. You know, the world and its ways are more important than the house of God and the things of God. No. God didn't change. We changed. Amen. No. So what we've got to do is we've got to get back. And I'm just simply saying to you, you know what, young people? Get rid of that old junky music you got. Now, some of you keep it hid. Some of you are fooling your parents. You've got it hid somewhere in your house. You've got it hid in your bedroom somewhere. I mean, you think mom and dad don't know about it, but I want to tell you right now, mom and dad, I'd do a search. Amen. Search and seizure. Amen. It's what I'd do. Amen. I'd search it and I'd seize it. Search Caesar and destroy. Get rid of it. I'm very serious about that. That's what happens. Teenagers, they get to hiding stuff in the house. They think mom and dad don't know anything about it. Mom and dad, it's your business to know about it. You need to know the state of your flock. You need to know what your children are doing. You say, oh, my children wouldn't do that. Oh, sure they would. Sure they would. And you need to know about it. You need to know the state of your flock. Amen? Sure. And young people, I just say to you, get rid of that junk out of your house. Get rid of that junk out of your life. Not going to help you one bit. It's going to destroy you. It's going to hurt you. Amen? You think it won't, but yes, it will. I'm 64 years old. I know more about it than you do. I certainly do. I've seen ruined lives. Deal with them all the time. Ruin lives because of stupid mistakes made in their younger life. Now come on, quit that. Live for God, walk with God, get rid of this stuff, do away with it, you see, and start doing right. Amen. Say, oh, I've heard it all. Oh, Brother Ross, those things don't hurt, you know. It don't hurt to listen a little bit. Oh, yes, it does. It just messes your life up, messes your mind up. I want to go over here to the book of Ephesians just for a moment. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. 18th verse, 5th chapter. Be not drunk with wine, that's in Ephesians, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now listen to what he says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I don't know whether maybe I know I'm not seeing too good tonight, and maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see where it says anywhere in there speaking to yourselves in rock and roll or the junk music of this world. Doesn't say no such thing. God wants your mind to be pure minds, clear minds. He wants you and me to listen to the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Doesn't say this old worldly junk music. No. You get away from that. It'll destroy you. I said something to you here the other day, and I want to re-mentioning it. I'm going to tell you, this thing is bothering me. It worries me. I hear stories about this internet thing. I cannot understand parents allowing their kids in a room with that internet thing and unsupervised. First of all, I can't understand young people who say they love God getting mixed up in that. There's something terribly wrong down here when you get mixed up in that mess. All that pornography and all that filthy language and all of that stuff. Say, Brother Ross, do you know anything about it? I don't have the internet. All I do is read about it. And when I read about it, it's terrible. It's filth. It's horrible. And it's destroying just untold young people. Now, I don't understand young people who love God getting mixed up with that. See, a young person ought to be able to go into a place and say, I don't want this. I mean, I'm not going to have this in my life. They ought to be turned on that internet. If they have it, they ought to be able to turn that thing on and stay away from all of that junk. Amen. But I want to tell you right now, if they can't do it, Mom and Dad, you better do it. You better see to it. You understand what I'm saying? All that stuff is garbage that is just filling our young people's minds and hearts. It's destroying them. No, we need to hitch a horse to a new hitching rack. Get away from all of that junk. Amen? Sure we do. All right then. Now what happens then in verse number, and I'm going back to the book of Daniel. You notice he's at the end of verse 10, it says all this music and all that stuff we've just been talking about. They shall fall down and worship the golden image. See, that's where it'll bring you. That's where it'll bring you. Now, there may be, I don't know, I hope not, but there may be parents in this room right now just kind of mocking at what this preacher's saying. You just kind of mock at it and say, hey, don't hurt, some of this stuff don't hurt. No, I tell you what they'll be doing. They'll be falling down and worshiping at the golden image. I'm telling you, you better protect them. You think you know your child, but you've got to understand, that child has got an old sin nature in him. That young girl's got a sin nature in it. You say, oh no, yes, they do. You see, you didn't get rid of that sin nature when you got saved. It's still there. You had to fight it. You had to battle it. And they need moms and dads to put the hammer down and say, no more. Ain't going to do this. No. I'm going to be a part of that. Amen? See, because what they'll be doing pretty soon, they'll be falling down and worshiping the golden image. See, when Satan gets done with you, he throws you away. He don't care about you. Throw you away. Yeah. Now look at verse 11. He says, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Yeah, I want to tell you, you know, the young people, they give each other a hard time. You mean you don't listen to that stuff? What's the matter with you? Well, you're a big chicken. You're letting mom and dad control you. Well, you're a big old chicken. You know, you mean you don't listen to this stuff? So the young person said, well, to be a big shot around here, I'm going to have to do some of this stuff. I'm going to have to do it on the sly. I want to tell you something. I can't stand deceivers. I can't stand deceivers. Want to deceive? Go behind the back and deceive Oh, no, no, that's crazy. That's crazy. But that's what your friends, so-called friends, will do to you. They'll try to get you to make fun of you if you don't do this and if you don't do that. Stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a Christian. Stand up and say, I'm not going to have a part of this. I'm not going to do this no matter what everybody else do. I don't know about you folks out here, but I've had to do that all of my life. I've had people ever call me everything that you can probably imagine down through the years. No, my wife knows. I've been called everything down through the years because of my stand on the Word of God. Because I won't put up with any foolishness. Because we want to have some separation and some standards in our life. And I've been made fun of, called everything under the sun. You know what? That's okay. Who's doing the calling? Somebody that don't have a lick of sense anyway. Who are they? I never did hear God call me a bad name for doing right. You say, you don't pay attention to these people out here, these lunatics out here that don't love God anyway. They want you to join in. They want you to be a part of this deception. Oh, come on, come on. Let's don't do that, amen? And then in verse number 12, notice something. It says in verse number 12, it said, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, there's three accusations that was brought against them right here in verse number 12. He said, they've not regarded thee. See, trying to get on the king's good side. He said, king, do you realize they didn't even pay attention to you whatsoever? They're just breaking the law. They don't care a thing about you. And then he tells them, he says, and they serve not your gods. King, you have these gods. You set up these gods. And they don't even care about your gods. Not only that, he says, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Said, king, you set this golden image up. This is yours. And these people are making fun of it. They're mocking it. They won't bow down to it. Now that's what exactly this old world is going to say about you.
Yeah, right.
Why don't you join in? What's the matter with you? Why don't you just join in and follow the king? Worship his golden image. What's the matter with you? Oh, no, no. What you do is you say, no, I've got a greater king than that. I've got the king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to do what he says. Amen? Sure. And then in verse 13 and 14, you notice he says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? See, he brings them. He's mad. He's furious. He's mad at him. Then in verse number 15, he says, now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. In other words, you know, we'll forget the past. We're going to give you another opportunity to do right. That's what he's saying to them. But he says, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, Nebuchadnezzar had forgot the God of Daniel. He had forgot 20 years and went by and he forgot the God of Daniel. And he said, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you another chance. That's what the world does all the time. You know, we can just put this in the past. We can just forgive this. We can just forget it. You know, just do it now. Just worship and fall down to the golden image now. You get another opportunity, another chance. What I want to do is I want to take you back to the book of Exodus just for a few moments, and I want to show you the process in which Satan uses. Okay? Book of Exodus, the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now, you're all familiar with Moses when he came in to turn to get the children loose from old Pharaoh. You're all familiar with that. And this, what I'm going to show you is four things that Pharaoh does. I want you to just listen. Because old Satan is still doing it. Still doing it. Four things that old Satan uses to try to get us to do what he wants us to do. So here's Moses come before Pharaoh, and here's what Pharaoh says in verse number 25 of chapter 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." Now, what he's saying there is this. If you have to sacrifice to your God, do it in Egypt. Now, Satan's doing the same thing today. He's saying to the Christians today, if you have to sacrifice to your God, okay, but stay in the world. Stay in the world. Young people, keep listening to the music. Just once in a while, go to Sunday school or church and listen to a sermon, but the rest of the week, stay in the world. That's what he's saying. See, well, Moses turned that down. And then we'll go down to verse number 28. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Now his next move was simply this. If you're going to have to go into the world in the wilderness, you're going to have to leave the world, just don't go too far. No, don't go too far. I see this all the time. Don't go too far. Oh, you can go in the wilderness and you can worship, but boy, don't go too far away from the world. That's what old Satan's telling these young people. Yeah, you can be a Christian on Sunday, but you don't have to go back to school the next Monday and act like you're a Christian. You can live like the devil. You can live like the world lives. And then you can come back Sunday and maybe even Wednesday. You see, you don't have to go very far into the out of the world. Just go a little ways. Multitudes of Christians across this land is just going a little ways. Right. They've determined. They've decided. They're not going to go any further. Oh, they've already made their stand. They've already said it in their hearts. Oh, I may worship God, but I want to tell you, I'm not going to leave the world very far behind me. So that didn't work, and Moses rejected that as he should. Moses said, no way, we're not going to do that. I want to show you the next move that old Pharaoh made. Go over to chapter 10 of the book of Exodus. Verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, "Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters and with our flock and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said unto them, "Let the Lord be with you as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you." You know what he said? If you bunch of fanatic adults and parents out there decide you're going to go all the way, you're going to go in the wilderness, at least leave your children in the world. Exactly what he's saying. That's happening all over America. We've got good, godly people, godly men and women who love God and walk with God, and they won't cause their children to get out of the world. Oh, they said, "Well, my children has to have this. My children has to have that. They've got to have this activity. They've got to have that activity. They've got to be given this. They've got to be given that." No, no, we didn't do that. No, no, no. But I want to tell you, my kids are going to have it better than I did. Baloney. Oh, Satan says, yeah, go ahead. Do what you have to, but you leave your kids in the world. You see, parents today are so afraid of pulling their children out of the world and the world's activities. You just don't understand. When you put your children in those worldly activities, you're putting them in with the world. And they're having fellowship with the world. And they're learning the ways of the world. So Satan wins again. The next generation. That's what I've said many times. You know, what one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. See, you think, oh, well, my kid's not too bad, but he's maybe not doing like we did, and maybe he's not staying away from the world like it. Well, let me guarantee you what his kids will do. Go a lot farther than him or her. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Hey, you don't want your children to get out of the world, buddy. You better nail it down. You better say, no, sir, we're going to take our children. We're going to take them right along with us. They're going to live the way God wants us to live. And they're going to do it. They're going to stay away from this old worldly ways. We're going to see to it. Folks, you're not hurting your children because they don't have everything. They don't need everything.
Amen.
You're helping them by keeping them away from all of that junk.
Yes. Amen.
They don't know it now, but that's exactly what's happening. You're being a blessing to them, to keeping them away from the world. But he had one more move. Over in the 10th chapter, verse number 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flock and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. You know what his next move was? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, okay, take your children with you. If you have to take your children, okay. But leave your finances in the world. Leave your herds, that which you make a living with, in the world.
Yeah.
See, all across this country, there's churches are floundering because people don't tithe and give offerings to the work of God. You know why? Because they're so tied up in the things of this world, they owe the world. They've taken their finances and putting their finances in the things of the world. Hear what this preacher's saying? It's more important to have all of these things than it is to serve God and get the work of God done. What Satan wants, if you must go all the way for God and you must take your children, leave your finances in the world. Missionaries trying to get on the field. Missionaries sometimes having a hard time. Even I get calls every week. I get a call from a missionary. At least. Sometimes more than that. Trying to get on the field. And the world out here, the Christians out here are taking their money and they go to Walmart and they blow it and they blow it and they blow it down at Kmart and they blow it and they blow it and they blow it. They get things they do not have to have or do not need whatsoever, but their money goes for those things and the work of God goes without. Shame. Shame, shame, shame. What we've done is we've followed Satan's plan. I'm going to do my best to keep my kids. Some of them don't even do that. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to see to it my children have what they want. Baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney, baloney. I grew up in a poor situation, and some of these other fellows out here did too. They grew up in a poor situation. They didn't have much when they grew up. We didn't either. I'm just telling you, folks, we didn't have much. I'm not talking about all the stuff that you have. We had none of that kind of stuff. We was lucky to have food on the table. We was just lucky to have the clothes. I wore patched clothes to school. I wore shirts that my mother made out of feed sacks. And I want to tell you, there has not been one day that I've ever looked back and say, oh, I'm so sorry I grew up that way. Every day of my life, frankly, I've got my picture of my mother and daddy sitting on my desk right in there in the office. I've got a picture of them at home. I look at that picture and I say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for raising me the way you raised me. I'm thankful you didn't have a lot to give me. I'd have been a mess. Thank God that you put things into me that money can't buy. And you know what's happening? You say, oh, I want my kids to have more than that. Shame on you. They don't need all of that junk. They just need some character put in them.
Amen.
Need to build some character in them so they'll serve God one of these days when they grow up. Amen? It's more important. You want to leave an inheritance for your children, and the Word of God talks about that. Lay up an inheritance. Fathers, lay up an inheritance for their children. He's not talking about money. talking about the spiritual heritage that we leave our children. Leave them a heritage. Leave them something to stand for and to become. They need character put in them. Not money to buy them things. Now you say, Brother Ross, are you against us buying our children things? I certainly am not against that. I want you to get some control over it. I want you to buy them the things they need. Once in a while, you know, they even deserve a little bit of a blessing with something extra. I said once in a while. You're harming them. You're hurting them by getting them all of these things. And the little children sit there and they don't understand this preacher preaching that, because you know what? They don't understand that. They want the things. That's where parents take over. Say, no, honey, I'm sorry. You don't need this. No, 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 you don't need this. No, no, no. Let's put that money up. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, you better listen. Oh, Satan, yeah, he wants your children. He wants you to not go very far into the wilderness. He wants you to not even take your children. And he wants, if you do, to leave all your finances in the world. Get them tied up in debt. Get them all tied up in debt. Get your finances all tied up in debt. Owe everybody around. And you won't be able to do a thing that God wants you to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanking you again today for your goodness and kindness and grace. Once again today, we've looked at some things we trust will be a help for our people. Trust we've helped our young people, Lord, to realize they need to just tie their horse to another hitching rack. They've walked away from this old world, and they need to get away from it completely and get rid of those things out of their life that's going to destroy them. I pray you'll help them do it. Help us as adults to do the very same thing. Now, Father, the message has been preached. You know what needs to be done. I trust the hearts has been receptive to the Word of God, and that you're able to work and deal in people's lives. Lord, whatever the need is, I pray that all of us will just let you meet that need. And Father, should there be anyone here unsaved, doesn't know for sure that they're ready for heaven, I trust tonight be the night when they put their faith and trust in Jesus and be born again. Now we thank you, we place this in your hands, and ask it in Jesus' name, amen.